Now on today's program, a movie so bad we just saw it and my face is still red. It's Collateral Beauty on We Hate Movies. I'm Andrew Jupin.
And Chris Cabin.
Steven Sadak.
And we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Happy New Year. We are getting things kicking off in just the right fashion, I'd say. That's right, a whole month of the worst of 2016, starting with Dave Frankel's Collateral Beauty.
I'd rather watch Dave Franco's Collateral Beauty.
Oh, man, that'd be great.
That movie would actually take some risks.
Olivia Wilde's definitely in it.
I was going to say, you might be able to trick Zac Efron into
starring. You might, actually.
And for all you Siska heads, Eric is just too hungover from the new year. He couldn't.
Oh yeah, too bad. He's on the plasma right now.
Plasma. He's on the plasma. Yeah, he spent the night praying to the porcelain god, as it were.
God damn it.
That's right.
Michael Peña does a little bit of that in this movie, doesn't he?
He certainly does for completely different reasons, which we'll get to. So this movie
is out in theaters right now. You could actually...
Let's not push it. I don't know.
In some theaters right now.
Yeah, it's the holiday feel-good movie of the year.
Jesus Louises.
You know, here's the thing, Hollywood. Just because a movie is set at Christmas doesn't mean you need to release this at Christmas. Because I'm telling you right now. You have somebody going into the theater, right? One of these people that's tragically alone on Christmas for some reason or another. A sad life. They say to themselves, well, man, you know, I really love Will Smith.
Yeah.
Coming out just in time for the holidays, pep me up. That person saw this movie and then immediately killed themselves.
Oh, I wonder what he'll be getting jiggy with this time.
Wait, what?
I just need one little smile from the only man in Hollywood that can make me smile, William Smith.
Oh, is Tommy Lee going to be here too? Are they going to talk about the alien again?
You know, for the past month, I've been so sad about being widowed, and the only thing I've been looking forward to is William Smith brightening my... What's that grief-stricken father with a dead kid and a ruined existence?
Well, at least Jazzy Jeff will show up, and he's always got a quip in his back pocket.
Oh, they were so cute together. Together back in the day.
Man, you're praying for DJ Jazzy Jeff in this movie.
I would love it if Uncle Phil just threw him out of Will Smith's ridiculous apartment.
Well, you need a CGI Uncle Phil.
Oh, that's right. He died.
He's been dead for years,
That's the estate of Uncle Phil.
Man, you know what? That's totally a book that actor could have written, The Estate of Uncle Phil. And his picture's just on the cover. It could also be a book, like a bad book giving you like money advice.
I had a couple of those like Simpsons books. You ever get
those?
Oh,
the philosophy.
Like, yeah, it was like Bart Simpson's Guide to Life. I loved that book.
You loved that book?
I did. I think it's the first book I ever loved.
Back to Collateral Beauty. God, I almost don't want to. I want to keep talking about fucking Loot Crate, man. Anything to prevent us from talking about Collateral Beauty.
So this movie is kind of like and I watch a lot of these around the Christmas time, the Hallmark and the Lifetime Christmas movies.
You're like daring yourself to kill yourself.
Yeah, sure.
Come on, Sadak!
You're going to sit through another one? You're going to sit through the same one you watched last year?
And you're going to go to hell tonight.
I will say that this is probably a little bit more convoluted than most Lifetime.
You would think so. I think really the only difference is this is actually filmed in New York. Like everything.
Sure,
if this was a Lifetime movie, it would be a female lead. You know, someone.
Kate Winslet would be the lead of
Kate Winslet. You're Meredith Baxter Burney
Burney.
A Charisma Carpenter is Charisma Carpenter.
Nailed
She's going to be the lead. It's going to be set in New York in the advertising world.
We're filming it in New Toronto, by the way.
We absolutely are. It's going to be Canadian as sin. And there's going to be like one of the people that she deals with will be a hunk,
of some, you know, maybe one of the third leads from Arrow will be the hunk,
okay,
maybe.
Yeah, that
or it's
sense.
A guy that he's really trying just by hook or by crook to scrape his way out of the soap opera game.
Oh, man.
One of those guys.
No, that's like a Morpheus situation. You don't want to look back. Yeah. No, I'm sorry, Orpheus. You don't want to look back.
I was going to say Morpheus. You just want to keep eating the fake steak in the Matrix.
I'm a little rat face man.
So this movie takes place. It's Will Smith. We open with the back of the box scenario would be
correct.
Will Smith is a bereaved father who has conversations with the personifications of death, time, and love.
Yes,
all around the holidays because he's so bereaved and. Maybe there's other stuff going on.
Also, he loves setting up domino spectacles.
Oh, he yes. really does.
He loves these little domino spectacles, man. He's got the time. He's got the patience setting up these dominoes.
It's very dramatic and compelling domino topplings going on here.
I've never seen dominoes like this, though. No, they're like shaped like dominoes, but they're just like solid colors.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of pastel dominoes.
I mean, I feel like you got to buy these online, and they are expensive.
You're paying through the nose.
It is an excruciatingly boring way to waste your time. And like, I understand it, you're grief stricken, and yeah. I totally get it. You need something to, you know, just funnel into. But
Chris, don't dominoes fall the way life falls? You know what I mean? One moment into the next, you know what I'm
oh,
saying?
Oh, yeah. Why like, do dominoes like, fall, Master Wayne?
Like plastic pieces of bullshit. Sure, yes. That is life.
Why
I'm sorry.
Do dominoes fall, Mr. Wayne? Because rich men have too much fucking time on their hands and they keep setting them up.
Someone invented a company where all they make is custom-made dominoes. That's America in a nutshell right there.
I mean, honestly, where is Michael Caine? Why don't I have Michael Caine in this movie?
He should be playing fucking Father Time, I'll tell you that much.
Well, that's the thing. It would have to be like, I mean... He would have to be like Edward Norton's father or something like that.
Well, yeah, but I just feel like it's like a little something.
It's a coin flip between Helen Mirren and Michael Caine. You can't have them
sure,
both.
Yeah.
Because then, then you've got like the old BAFTA guard kind of haunting your movie, which makes it a little weird.
And I'll take Helen Mirren over Michael Caine. Sorry
Although,
to tell you.
Helen Mirren's doing an American accent in this movie, right? Because I think Keira Knightley's the only British one. The only, like, actually quote-unquote British one.
I didn't think Helen Mirren was...
She's going in and out a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
She's also got those Aryan contact lenses.
Yes, those are so weird.
That's
it's
weird.
It's a little strange, I gotta say.
Well, that's so she can match her fucking Queen Elizabeth suit she's wearing later in the movie.
Of course.
So What's-her-face is doing a bad American accent, though. Naomi Harris, is
Yes, she is. Yes.
Holy shit.
And Kate Winslet's doing... I mean, Kate Winslet's mastered the American accent.
She's fine.
Yeah,
she didn't do so well with that Polish accent and Jobs, but what
yeah,
are you gonna
what
do?
Are you gonna do? It was last year. You can't falter forever.
Also, and I hate the brain stuff. It was Steve Jobs.
Oh, Steve Jobs. What did I say?
Jobs.
What's Jobs?
Isn't Jobs just the?
Oh, that's the Ashton Kutcher movie. So, yeah, sorry about that. Steve Jobs.
Can't wait for his middle name to come out. That'll be a fun movie.
I think his middle name is The Man in the Machine.
Okay. Mooney.
The documentary.
So could we? Do we want to spoil it for everybody?
We have to because, like I said to you on the train up here, I think spoiling the two twists in this movie.
Aren't there like five, though?
There's enough twists.
There's enough that I think it will help inform everything else we're talking about.
Sure.
But so I think to spoil it, though, we have to set up a little bit more of what's going on.
So we start, and it's Will Smith in Better Days giving a speech about, and his corporate mantra, that they work at a fake advertising company, because everybody works at a fake advertising company.
Yeah,
Lifetime, real movies, any movie, it's always about the ad.
Advertising company. Yep. Apparently, it's fronting Scientology, because his whole thing is there are three abstractions. There's love.
Uh-huh.
There's time.
Yep.
And there's death.
Sure. And it's like, oh, you know,
hooray.
Everybody wants love. Everybody wants to maximize their time. And right. Everybody's afraid of death. And that's how you sell them fucking soap. Which, you know, sure.
You know what? This character, you are no Don Draper.
No.
Okay.
No.
You know, Don Draper could sell me a rusty set of Cutco knives, man. Like, this dude ain't selling shit.
Well, that's the weird thing is we only hear about how great he was at the ad game
right.
and how amazing everything was, but you never actually see it. You only
show me a campaign.
Yeah.
Show me one commercial you made.
So we flip to now Will Smith is just making Domino's in the office and being a bit of a nuisance about it.
Right. And it's an awkward situation because it's like, yeah, he's being a nuisance, but he's got a dead kid.
Yeah.
So everyone in this office, and it's a big office.
It's like Google. These offices are Google.
Yeah. They're the Mad Men Google mashup here. And
are we sure it's not Starfleet? It's a lot of sliding doors that you don't feel like you just have to talk to.
They talk about how this company's on fucking hard times. Sell this office. You know, sure. Or stop paying rent at this office. Whatever.
Downsize.
Downsize.
Cut some of these millennials loose. I see a lot of extras floating around me, a lot of fat around here.
Just down to one floor, maybe, of the biggest building in Times Square.
But these people, these poor people, are expected to conduct business and be successful while walking around on eggshells in front of this man, because they're like, you know, anything could set this dude off. Like, who knows?
And here's the thing. He's not closing those doors.
Yeah.
So it's an open office of you're just watching this guy day after day for 6 months.
Yep.
Shattered man.
Make these childlike things.
Oh, it's so creepy.
Day after day.
And then people are like, oh, do you know that he used to do that with his daughter? Like, yeah, I know.
Yep.
I just got to do my timesheets, all right? I'm a fucking temp. They said temp to perm. I said, no, temp.
And that's the thing, Cabin. It's not 6 months. It's been 2 years. And so it's at a point where they're...
No, but he's been back for 6 months.
He comes
months.
Back and they're like, right, oh,
but the kid's been dead
kid's
for,
been
two
dead
years.
For 2 years.
And so everyone's mentality is like, you know, it's been 2 years, right? That's 24 whole months to stop being crazy.
Or just like, don't be in the... like. Don't haunt our offices. Like, you know what I mean? That's the weird thing. It's like, because Edward Norton is the business partner. And I think so is Kate Winslet and also Michael Pena, who we'll get to. And basically, the thing is, like, Edward Norton keeps going up to him and saying, like, oh, I keep trying to have conversations. What's his name? Walter? Or Will Smith.
Yeah, I don't know. Howard.
Howard is his name. Yeah, so help me, Howard. So he's like, oh, I just keep going up to Howard, and like, he's not there, and I talk to him, and he doesn't respond, which is weird. Like, it's a very weird way of grieving.
Yeah.
To go to your job and then ignore everybody.
I mean, it's creepy. I mean, a lot of the beginning of this movie is people talking to Will Smith. Will Smith, like, acknowledging that they're talking to him by like looking at them, but then just not saying anything. Like, he's a real fucking specter in this movie.
Shaking his head like wildly for no reason.
And be like, you know what, dude, you're not ready to come. Because they do have that thing. Like, I think Edward Norton's like, you know, it's been 2 years. He had to come back sometime. Maybe no matter what, it's not time. I need to run a business. I can't have fucking weird FAO Schwartz nightmare depression all over my house.
That's the other thing, is that they just don't have like, he has to make a decision. Like, he has to. Like, it's fine if he's like, I can't do this anymore.
Sure.
I don't want anything to do with this place anymore. That's fine. Yeah. He has to sign a piece of paper to that effect and be fucking done with it. This stupid thing where he's between... He neither can stay away or fully commit.
Yeah, like, oh, maybe he's going to go back, or maybe the plan was, I'm going to go back and lose myself in my work. Get some work done!
Here's a tip. Take the toys out of your office. Mm-hmm. Don't have those dominoes there to distract you. That's all I'm saying.
That's a big problem. And the rest of the office. But basically, the company's in the toilet because Will Smith was the Don Draper type. That's what everybody wanted. And I think this movie does know that you've seen Mad Men a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, some of the language is very similar.
It's also not as, like, explainy about what this movie's idea is anyway, of like what the ad sales world is.
Mm-hmm.
They're just assuming you've seen Mad Men, and there is it's just like jargon and whatnot floating around.
So they're like, oh, you know, we're the company's in the toilet because everybody we're losing clients left and right because they wanted Will Smith's magical genius and they're not getting it.
Right.
So we need, you know, we're behind on whatever, and we have to sell the company. We've got a great deal coming from Omnicom.
Omnicom, by the way.
Placeholder name.
Yeah, somebody needed to look over this screenplay with a fucking fine-tooth comb.
We have this great deal, but very much like a Lifetime movie, very much like a Christmas movie, they need an answer on New Year's Eve or bust. No matter what. Like, how about, like, if you are making an offer around the holidays, you have to be like, okay, let us know by the end of January. Because, like, it's the holidays. Everybody's on vacation.
OmniCorp is open over the holidays. Give me a break. They took all of December off.
Yes, exactly. You're not getting business done on 12/31, buddy?
And yeah. what kind of fucking business? That's the other thing, is you don't see them actually doing anything. Mm-hmm. Like, there's plenty of inspirational shots of white people working at an office. There's
making,
a whole
that's
lot
making
of
America
that.
Great again, man.
There's quite a lot of that, as it turns out.
Sure.
But there's not like, give me a meeting where they're like, you know, yeah, we liked this idea of, you know,
sure,
Red Bull. You love yep it so much you want to walk into traffic.
Or they're like, oh, hey, Jimmy, what are those pants? Oh, those are the new Diesel jeans we're going to be marketing. Okay, cool. You
exactly
know, that kind of a thing.
The only time you see any of this is when Edward Norton plays an old DVD from some Spanish language fucking like
pharmaceutical
thing that he made about like a pill that reduces anger.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Vicodin is this red monster.
There's got to be some sort of, like, that should be a thing. It's not selling this company or shares or whatever. It's like, we need to land the big account, and yes, this is the product that we're working on.
But yeah, so the problem is they're afraid, and they're like, okay, we need Will Smith because he has like more shares than anything else because Edward Norton sold some in his horrific divorce, apparently.
Oh, oh man, it sounds like Ed Norton's character, Wit, took a bath.
It sounds like a real barn burner, man.
Well,
like,
it was a thing where like he was cheating on his wife. The wife hired a private detective, and she like just documented this dude's philandering.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh, like whenever I feel like whenever anyone talks about the divorce, three other characters go, "Oh, that was a bad divorce."
They do it in the street. I'm pretty sure strangers on the street are like, "Oh yeah, I remember that.
Oh,
that was
that
bad
one,
for him.
That one made the papers.
The Post ripped him apart."
Oh, ow, that guy. Oh, you're the divorce guy, right?
Oh, you're the guy. It was a big knockdown, dragout fight. Somehow your apartment got set on fire.
All you have left is a Kangol hat. He took a real, real bath in this fucking divorce. So he's hanging out with Kate Winslet, who I thought, for the beginning of this, I thought they were in a relationship, because I thought that they, like, he's talking about who he cheated on his wife with. It's like, oh, it must have been Kate Winslet. But
oh, yeah. It's actually just like the wife and the wife's new boyfriend. You also don't meet the other woman. Because we're just like talking about these characters in such a two-dimensional, like, this is the one that had the affair.
There's
next
so many Lilith Cranes in this movie, man.
There's a lot of Lilith, man. Yeah, absolutely. Maris.
Maris, I apologize.
Maris Crane. Or Vera.
Vera.
Vera from Cheers. Yeah. That Lilith was all over that show.
She was. You couldn't keep her out of it.
They tried.
But they're like, how are we going to do this thing? How are we going to get him to sign these papers? Because literally talking to this guy is like talking to a fucking wall. I'm not even kidding.
Yep.
I've been in the elevator with this guy. I've watched where Edward Norton's like, hey, man, I got Nick tickets. You don't even have to come. All you have to do is sit next to me and be a fucking ghost. And he's like, no. Not even no, just no, nothing. No.
He just walks out of the elevator, and this is where you want to say to Edward Norton, and this is something that Will Smith as a functioning human being could possibly say, is why don't you take that daughter who hates you to the Nick game? Why don't you try rebuilding that? Because that's the other like sack of sad shit that Edward Norton's carrying on his back in this movie.
One of many.
Yeah.
He's got another one coming too.
Because he's got this daughter who hates his rotten guts. She's like this precocious child actor with like, you know, a 30-year-old's vocabulary.
And it's also the fucking oldest thing in the book with the fucking, oh my God, my daughter's new stepdad is a rich man who is fucking nice to her.
That actually happens in fucking Jingle All the Way too.
It happens all the time. And Edward Norton has to be this prick about it. And like, he's like, oh, I got tickets to Hamilton. First of all, how about you don't bring up Hamilton?
Yeah.
How about we begin with that? Don't bring up
Hamilton. Well, this movie was made in 2016, so it was by law you had to talk about Hamilton.
But that's what's like, there's so many problems with this screenplay, but that's a big thing. We're time dropping right now.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about Hamilton. He mentions his Uber driver gave him advice. There's another one floating around there somewhere.
She went to Hamilton. So he's like, hey, I got tickets to Hamilton. I'm the luckiest man in the world and I'm rich. And she's like, yeah, but I actually saw that already with my dad and Odell Beckham Jr.
That's the other one. Yes. Yeah. Current Giants superstar Odell Beckham Jr. It's like, you know, pretend for 2 seconds like you want anyone to give a flying fuck about this movie 10, 15 years from now. No one is going to remember. Like, someone's going to watch this movie 20 years from now and be like, what was the big deal with Hamilton? So she saw it. It's okay. Why is he bitching about tickets?
Actually, it was a private performance, and Odell did it for us. We actually had Denzel Washington came on as Aaron Burr.
Oh, wow. Now that's thinking, pretty star-studded.
I'm thinking about the Criterion of Collateral Beauty that'll come out in about 10 or 15 years. Absolutely.
Very nice artwork on the front.
You know, the interesting artwork is, you ever take one of those real snaky shits? You know, you take a dump after maybe a night of drinking, and it's like, wow, how long is this turd? And it goes all the way around the bowl almost twice, and you're like, how did I even do that?
In the form of Helen Mirren's head.
And wow. That's it. It's a really artsy shot, maybe of a snaky shit, and it's called Collateral Beauty.
That's the thing, is like, you could just have that. It's like a filled toilet bowl, and then just like sprinkles on a sundae, all the characters and things from this movie just atop it, and there's your Criterion Blu-ray case.
Beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
I thought you were going to talk about like the handful of dog shit that Divine eats in
also true. Now then you got to pay John Waters for that. You don't want to be doing
but
that.
That's what watching this movie is like, man. Eating a handful of steamy, fresh, hot off the presses dog shit.
So she is like, yeah, Dad. And he's like, oh, you're going to spend Christmas with me? He's like, no, I'm going away. And he gets all pissed and bummed, and he kind of leaves this girl alone. So that's his sad shit.
And by the way, Brad, or whoever this stepfather is.
It is a Brad. Is it Brad? Fucking bullshit name.
So she says.
It's a very overused name in cinema. I've met a couple of Brads.
Specifically for stepdads.
Yeah, stepdad Brad.
So stepdad Brad.
Instead of going to fucking Hamilton and hang out with Dad, she's going to the Bahamas with mom and stepdad.
Yep.
Mom and stepdad were going to the Bahamas alone.
Yep.
What the fuck, Brad?
Yeah.
I mean, why would you allow this to happen?
It's a real cock up.
You're going
on Brad's
to a fuckcation,
part.
And now you got a kid hanging out talking about how she wants to go back and see Hamilton with Odell again.
And it's one of those things where it's a totally adults only resort, so you got to pretend and try to trick the people to say that she's 18.
Wow, this is getting really seedy. This turned into my father the hero.
No, man. Well, oh, yeah. Maybe it will. I don't know. Well, that's the thing that you say to somebody, like, you know, there's these adults-only resorts, and everybody thinks people are fucking each other in the dining hall. I mean, you know, it's just they don't let kids
assume
in.
That.
We went on our honeymoon in Mexico, man. There was no children anywhere. What a beautiful thing.
You fucking in dining hall?
Oh, man, all the restaurants.
So.
Linen closets as well.
So, they're casting a commercial for something.
It's what is it?
Is it a vacation?
It's the one thing they do kind of say. It's some sort of travel thing.
Or it's like you'll shed your... And like basically the line is you'll shed your skin or what is it?
No, shed your skin and find yourself.
Yes, that sounds right. I think that's it.
Whatever it is. And then like he's a philanderer. So he sees Keira Knightley in line, by the way. And he's like, oh, hey, how's it going, Keira Knightley? And she's like, how's it going? And she gives him a better line reading for his product, and she's like, oh, that hits you right in the heart.
Yeah.
And then she like leaves enigmatically to go to this weird playhouse, and Edward Norton's trying to get it wet, so he chases her.
Yeah, that's right.
And
pretty desperate.
It's her, Helen Mirren, and what's this kid's name? I've never seen him before. He's a rap artist, I believe, as well.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
His name is Jacob Lattimore. I don't know that he's a rapper.
That's what I got in the Wikipedia.
Jacob Lattimore. He's been in a bunch of stuff.
Okay,
yeah. I mean, he was in Ride Along.
Okay. Well, Jacob it's...
Oh, he's a Maze Runner person, too.
Okay. So,
oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah.
And they're performing this in this like weird little black box theater, and they're performing some scene from something, and Edward Norton's like, wow, that was amazing. I was like, you're just trying to get laid, dude. It's like,
yeah. Yep.
It's like, wow, that was the best. And he's like, I go to a lot of theater. And I'm like, do you? And he's
like, come on.
Oh, so Steve, you're not a total racist. He's an R&B singer.
Yes, okay.
But it's a weird, like, according to the Tribune anyway, it says his first single, Best Friend, was picked up by Radio Disney.
Okay.
Wicca Wicca Radio Disney.
Collateral Beauty.
Yeah, this is indeed Wicca Wicca Collateral Beauty.
So, he's like, wow, that's amazing. And he's like, I have this great idea. And basically what he wants to do is, oh, I'm sorry. He hires his wife's private investigator, played by Ann Dowd, to follow Will Smith around to find something that can label him mentally incompetent.
Crazy.
Yeah. So,
because that's the whole thing, right? If he's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, he loses his stake in the company decision making, yep. and they can go on with selling to Omnibus or whatever the shit it's called.
So they show him put some stuff in a mailbox. She takes it out. They go out to lunch with Ann Dowd, and they're like, "What was in the mailbox, Ann Dowd?" She's like, "Well, he wrote letters to life, to love, time, and death." And they read it out at the table.
This starts the long string of horrendously illegal shit that mm-hmm. goes on in this movie that is indeed the plot of the movie yep. is heinously illegal
doing
shit.
Doing something monstrous and illegal.
That, let
and
me
immoral,
tell you right now,
way.
Immoral, monstrously illegal, and let me tell you right now, nobody pays the piper for this shit at the end. But when those credits roll and nobody's due in time, I don't think so.
The criminals are apologized to at the end of this movie.
That's right.
It's stunning.
You're goddamn right.
Fucking Will Smith needs to learn a lesson. You need to learn a lesson and fucking
that's
mind
right.
your business.
Yep. Oh. So, oh, it's fucking
we'll
sickening.
We'll
this horrific.
So we're stealing mail. Federal offense right there.
So right off the top.
And so she's like, yeah, well, he wrote these letters. And then this is when Edward Norton meets these three people, he's like, brilliant idea. And does he run it by the rest of the team first, I think?
I think he goes he has the idea.
Uh-huh.
And then he has to go get them.
Yeah.
Because also, by the way, these three struggling artists, they're actors.
Sure.
And they're all struggling. Yeah. They've got like a fucking a theater on Varick Street in the middle of fucking Soho.
Yeah.
Why don't you go to somewhere where the rent isn't $1,000 a day?
I mean, that's the insane thing is like they're putting together this play. Nobody's off book, okay? But yet, like,
wow, you think it's a little late in the production to not be off book?
I think so. The fucking set's designed. Yeah, what are you kidding me? You've moved into the theater?
Yeah, that's true.
You loaded in. The set's there. Lighting's there. You're still on book. The three of you. What a fucking disaster!
And the design's pretty impressive too.
Eugene O'Neill's rolling over in his fucking grave. Good God.
Well, that's the thing. Nobody's directing this. It seems like Helen Mirren might be.
I think Helen Mirren chose to direct.
Oh, I see. Well, you know what, lady? Maybe let's get some discipline on set.
And you're right, Kevin. This is an interesting looking set. I kind of just want to watch this play, not this shit fuck movie.
It would be better than anything.
Oh, guaranteed. And it's one of those things like when he walks in on the scene, they're just talking about nothing.
Yeah.
It's all just the fucking screenwriter pulled out a thesaurus and had a field day with it.
Clip, clap, nonsense. Just fucking going for it. Talking about the cold tears of who gives a shit.
Oh, wasn't that your senior project?
Yes, it was. I mean, I reworked the title in draft sense because, I mean, you can't put that on a marquee.
Yeah, Chris Cabin's The Cold Tears of Who Gives a Shit. That's a lot for a poster.
Yes.
So Edward Norton's got this idea. He's like, hey, look, why don't I pay? I'm going to come into a lot of money if this scheme goes through. We're doing Ocean's 11 shit right now.
Which
I'm going to need three actors.
And this is a tough sell, by the way. Do this thing for me, and I promise you $20,000. But also only if I then come into this money that I'm only assuming I'm going to get should this deal happen to go through.
This is a very rare instance of that where you don't have to sleep in a haunted mansion. You know, usually when you hear a line of bullshit is like that, but you have to spend one night in a haunted mansion.
My great Aunt Louise died.
But so he's like, all right, so what, you know, what you have to do is pretend to be the personifications of love, death, and time. Go haunt and bother my bereaved partner to make him, I guess, the idea is like, then he'll either snap out of it or more than likely he'll just go crazy and we'll have enough evidence to have him removed from the masthead here.
But what we haven't mentioned yet is how we're collecting this evidence.
Oh, that's right.
Which is indeed... They want to get the three. So it's Helen Mirren is death, Keira Knightley is love, and Jacob Lattimore is time. And they're like, go to him, get him like riled up and talking to you. And then Ann Dowd, our fucking sextagenarian private investigator.
The one on the inside.
She's going to film you and then
line from the movie, digitally remove you from the tape. Then we're going to play it in front of the board meeting with all these lawyers present and sink this guy. Are you serious?
On top of that all, there's a the game part to this.
Yes.
Because
somebody finds a key in a wallet.
They have to have strangers or just random people pretend like they're invisible.
Yeah. Well, what Andrew, the second part of this, the digitally, that's the second part. That kind of comes in later in the movie.
Oh, I thought that was from Jump Street.
And maybe that's in his Machiavellian sense that he knows that that's coming. But initially, it's just like, hey, we're just going to go.
Just
you know, he's bereaved. Just talk to him. Maybe if he confronts these things, he'll get over it.
Right.
So they're all like, oh, yeah, that's cool. 20 grand for that. That's weird. But to Chris's point, yes. And like Helen Mirren's like, well, what's the theatrical device? Can people see us? Can people not see us? So, like, when Helen Mirren meets Will Smith at a dog house, a dog park where he frequents, Ann Dowd comes with this kid. This kid is now on the take.
Yep.
Ann Dowd comes by, and, like, Will Smith's talking to Helen Mirren, and this kid's like, Mommy, who's that man talking to? And she's like, he's crazy, son.
Yeah. And, you know, again, insanely immoral, possibly illegal. This is like venturing into, like, harassment territory, but also
harassment, fraud.
Yeah.
Fraud, definitely. But now Ann Dowd's got this kid involved. It's her grandson, we're told. So now, listen, you're either giving that kid a cut, or you got to fucking snuff him out. And that's Ann Dowd's decision to make when the time comes.
And here's another thing is like,
there's piano wire in the park.
You're not getting no 3%.
Eastern promises. She brings the kid for a shave. No, but like,
oh my God. Poor little guy.
But like, okay, so Helen Mirren going to the dog park, like she's straight out of a Bill Cunningham photo.
Yeah,
it's like you maybe want to wear something where somebody, some random person, could just be like, "What the fuck is that person wearing?"
Yeah, exactly. Like, don't stick out like a sore thumb where everyone will be staring at you.
Also, you're deaf. Don't you want to have like a plain like
black? Is
well,
what
but that's a little too obvious.
So she's wearing all this blue, and she's like, "Yeah, you wrote a letter to me," and like Will Smith's like, what? And the weird thing is the trailer is better than the movie because the trailer is just like, it's magic, it's fine, this is what's happening to this guy on Christmas.
Yeah.
But this, like, to your point, the game, it's very strange. And also what I was curious about was I was expecting a twist like in the game when like Michael Douglas sees that great character actor in that like doctor ad in that Mexican restaurant. And he's
he's
an actor. Like an actor on television. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then he like harasses that guy at the zoo. Like, that's what needs to happen. Like, Will Smith is like watching TV and like, it's Keira Knightley in a fucking Orbit ad. And he's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like, this house of cards needs to come a crumbling.
Mm-hmm. There's no real she's all that moment.
No, because as I mentioned, the piper is not paid by anyone. We're not paying the piper. We're not paying the fucking fiddler. Nobody's getting paid, man.
We're not even robbing Peter to pay Paul here, man.
Oh, no way, dude.
We're doing nothing. So she meets him, and he gets freaked out, and she's like, she has the letter because they fucking stole it.
Which also, here's the thing. So Ann Dowd says, I paid $800 to a mailman so the mailman would copy me a universal key.
Nice try.
That mailmen have, right? So then I'm thinking, okay, so in order to access these letters, this woman who's just wearing like a beige overcoat is keying into a mailbox. Like, I need a scene where she's dressed up like a postal employee, right? She comes up with a big plastic post office box and keys into that shit.
I see. I didn't even notice that it was a So wait, is Anna Dowd after this? Is she just going to start a criminal organization of blackmailing everybody? She can get any
mail
from
queen.
Anywhere.
Yep.
Yeah, she
can. You know, and also to your point, Andrew, I think the way you get around that is you get your kid partner there, right?
Oh, sure.
You get him across the street. He puts a pipe bomb in a garbage can. That blows up, and everyone's like, oh, my God. That's when Ann Dowd goes and gets the mail real quick. Or maybe that kid fakes a heart attack or a seizure. And everyone's like, oh, my God, help that kid.
Well, if it's a pipe bomb, dude, I was going to say you get Mark Wahlberg in this movie. He'll get to the bottom of it. That blew up the race. Whatever. Just watch the documentary of that.
You're fine, or read a book. The next is... Oh, and also, by the way, so, like, everybody sort of Edward Norton involves Michael Pena and Kate Winslet, and they're all like, oh, I guess this is the only option available to us is this insane scheme.
And they go through their like, because you could just make the argument, why doesn't one person talk to another person?
Yes.
They do say, you know, we had our intervention was terrible. The grief counselor we
something
hired.
Something about chakras or some fucking white nonsense.
I don't believe in chakras.
Well, yeah, they got Dr. Strange in. He couldn't crack it.
Dr. Strange and his white magic didn't work. But yeah, but so, but the way they kind of informally, they all are like, all right, Edward Norton's going to work with Keira Knightley because he's trying to get that shit wet. Michael Pena draws Helen Mirren and they're going to work on their stuff.
Right.
And Kate Winslet's going to work with Jacob, what's his face?
Lattimore.
Jacob Lattimore. And
by the way, that's the name for a vampire.
Jacob Lattimore.
Get that out of the way?
Oh no, it's Jacob Lattimore.
Dark Shadows?
Yes. Yeah, totally.
Hello, welcome to House Lattimore.
You've moved back into the house I see, Jacob. This is our new butler. He's also a werewolf.
Your ancestors have been waiting for you, Jacob.
But so Michael Pena, and this we all, by the way, we saw this 10 o'clock in the morning on 84th Street in a much too crowded for me theater.
There's a whole 10 people there.
I couldn't believe it. We were ready to just fucking hoot and holler. I mean, this movie tanked.
Yeah.
It's been out for a couple weeks, at least a week.
Well,
maybe.
It
we
opened against Rogue fucking One.
Didn't do too well.
Yeah. So we just were anticipating it was going to be a real fat guy fest in that theater, just laughing. There were so many people in that theater. I'm so disappointed.
And some of them were under 200 pounds. I'm sorry, but no.
We were snickering and we were having a little bit of fun with it. So no one booed us outright. But what I was saying was at this point in the screening, so like everyone's working with their respective personification of whatever just to get them up to speed and to save time. So Michael Pena is working with Helen Mirren in like a Starbucks or something. They're working this over a script and Michael Pena starts to cough. And I turned to Chris and I was like, I swear to God, if Michael Pena fucking dies in this movie, I'm going to eat my hat. And well, I didn't have to eat my hat, but I almost did.
But like he is presumed dead. It turns out he's got like mesothelioma or something.
No, he's dead. He's definitely going to die. Like
That's what you start to find out is that Michael Pena is deathly sick. And wouldn't you know it, you're like, well, he's already talking to death. What?
Right. Oh, can you believe it?
Can you even fucking believe it? Man, did that just irk me. And also this guy is like, you know, and that's kind of, it also works for a motivation for his character. He's like, I'm not a horrible person playing this weird fucking Charles Dickens-esque prank on my friend. I'm actually, if this deal doesn't go through, I have nothing to leave my kids. Oh my God, my mother.
He's in it for like more. He's got like a Heisenberg thing going on.
He puts on a black hat.
Yeah, he puts on a black hat and he's like, you're going to fucking pretend to be death and I'm going to knock for you.
I'm just imagining if for some reason, you know, God forbid, Andrew just becomes an alcoholic or something. And then I don't want to put the bad juju on anyone in your family.
Yeah.
But like you become an alcoholic and like We Hate Movies is going down the toilet and I need to sell it. Like, what do I get? Like a UCB 101 class to come out and perform some bizarre cabaret for you just to get you to sign over something? It's insane.
You have to rent out a bar.
Oh, they all pretend to be ghosts.
Dude, I gotta tell you, Steve, not for nothing, one of the things I thought about watching this movie, because they all, like, at this part of the movie, when they all pair off and they're working on their bits, it reminded me of, like, the old days writing sketches in coffee shops. Like, it was so weird. I was like, they're sitting here in this Starbucks, they're getting their bit together.
Yeah,
Michael Pena's working on his character.
You want a 5-minute slot at Liquid Courage, man. You gotta get that going.
The family of Jacob Marley.
But no, so yeah, you're an alcoholic. You go into a bar. It's all these ghosts that are people from a UCB 101 class. They're like, I died from drinking. I too died from drinking.
But you're all here drinking.
Rum was my poison. I drank it from the gutter. I drank vodka from an ice storm from hell.
And then Andrew's like, no, fuck that guy. I saw that guy in an above average video yesterday. Eat shit.
That girl was in my 101 class 10 years ago.
Oh, she was in the background of Broad City. Fuck this.
I know he fucking writes for Last Week Tonight. Get out of here.
That's, might as well. Yeah. I mean, so the next thing is Jacob Lattimore as Time meets Will Smith in his office playing with the, what do you call their
dominoes?
Dominoes. And like Kate Winslet comes out, right? Kate Winslet.
This is
like,
the funniest fucking thing.
Kate Winslet's like, oh, hey, Will Smith, we've got this meeting with this company. We know you're not going to go to it because you're a living ghost, but hey, do you want to go to this thing? And like she pretends not to see Jacob Lattimore because it's all this fucking scam.
Yeah. Well, it's also because Helen Mirren specifies in the last meeting, like, they only see us if we want them to.
Yeah.
Is the thing. So he's kind of looking like, do you see this guy behind me?
Yeah.
Do you see this Disney R&B singer behind me?
Is he crooning? Is he crooning back there? Did you?
Will Smith's like, fuck that. I know that guy's not Time. I saw him in The Maze Runner. Fucking Scorch Trial, bitch.
It's so stupid. So he has this conversation where, like, the kid Time is mad at him. Like, Helen Mirren's a bit like, oh, sweetheart. And this kid's like, fuck you. You wasted my gifts and all this stuff. And, like, you know, he, like, starts reading out his letter to him. He's like, you know, Albert Einstein thought that time was an illusion or some horseshit. Downstairs, Kate Winslet's like, oh, man, I feel really bad about lying to my bereaved best friend.
I feel terrible about it. You know what I'm going to do? In my open-air office, I'm going to look at a fucking sperm bank website.
Dude, come on.
Well, because she's dealing with Time, man. And
oh,
the clock
I get it
is
now.
Ticking. You get that shit? Dude, is your... Oh, man, Cabin, get a mop, because Steve's mind just got blown all over the studio.
Here we go.
Well, you should add Marissa Tomei, and she could have done reprised her best line, which is, my biological clock is ticking like this.
Oh, right. That's how she accidentally won that Academy Award.
But, like, it's so fucked up, because, like, we have no idea why, like, what happened. Like, Kate Winslet never... talks about like wanting to
well,
have a kid.
Well, dude, she's a woman in a career scenario. Obviously,
she really wants to have
she gave
a kid,
up one
yeah.
for the yeah, other, and a, now she's regretting
course,
it.
It's a yes. latter period 30 Rock kind of a gag, you know, yeah. or latter period SVU that happens there
that
too.
Does have, now we have Baby Noah on the show.
Baby Noah.
That baby's been in more danger in like two seasons.
That kid needs to be taken away from that lady.
I think that kid's
way too many sex criminals about.
That kid's been kidnapped like four times on that show.
Yep.
I'm telling you right now. And it was twice by the same person, I think.
Nope. Already ruined. Toss it out.
No, yeah. I mean, like, seriously, though, like, you will lose custody. Your kid gets kidnapped more than once.
Yeah.
You get one kidnapping, the judge is like, oh, my God, I feel so bad.
Oh, sure. Well, also, but she had to adopt.
Objection. Fool me twice. Shame on me.
She had to adopt Baby Noah because his mother was a prostitute who was set on fire under a bridge.
Oh, she's not even biological. No, that kid is gone. That kid's in a fucking orphanage town.
Yep, that's right. If this woman wasn't a cop, forget it. That baby would be taken right.
Oh, you think a lot of papers go missing, by the way?
Yep, guaranteed.
You're not calling every kidnapping in?
No, I think she does legally have custody of him, but it's a judge is like, you know, boys will be boys.
If we could not put this kidnapping... I don't want any more... I don't need any points on my parenting license, so if we could not put this kidnapping on the books, I'd really appreciate
you know,
it. I'm on probation.
I'm just going to get a potbelly pig this time. I'm just going to go around this one, go the other way.
So she's like, yeah, you know, I want a kid, whatever. The third person to meet him is Keira Knightley. She kind of bombs out, right? She's like crying or something. And
she fucks
Will
it up.
Will Smith's like, I'm not in the mood.
Which is weird.
He's eating. That's the best thing.
Oh, right. Yeah, he's trying to eat this. When you get the shot of, like, from where he's sitting, you see what this is. It's a bad job by the prop department. It's just, a plate of raw vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's at a diner in Brooklyn or where, like, I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're getting something nice.
Also, you're depressed. You're eating fucking hoagies left and right, man.
Gravy on everything. Better gravy up those raw vegetables.
Oh, well, actually, but he's like really like man feelings depressed because he sits in his apartment
in
the dark and doesn't let anyone in. And like even Kate Winslet's like always bringing him food. She's like, hey, I went to the place down the corner.
Yeah.
Here's a plate full of food for you. And then his landlord gets involved.
You mean Giuseppe?
Giselle, God, this guy.
No, it's fucking Jimmy Palumbo. I think this is he's celebrating a dozen times playing a superintendent of a building. That dude's in everything.
Or just a random tenant in a Law and Order episode.
Yes, he's helped out several different Law and Order police officers.
But yeah, he's like, oh, you know, don't leave that food out. It just goes to rot. He's like, and he's not paying his rent either.
Which you get an idea, by the way, of what kind of people we're dealing with at this point. Because Kate Winslet is just like, all right, well, I'll pay his rent if it'll shut you up and let me get out of here. And yeah, she cuts this dude a check.
Yeah, I'll pay 1 month of his rent of a one bedroom in God knows where, like off Prince Street. My God, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Soho apartment. A Soho apartment.
Wait, so does he live downtown and he works in Brooklyn? Or I thought he lived in Brooklyn and the office is downtown?
Oh, that's right, because he's always on the
Maybe
bridge.
Maybe he's in Dumbo?
You see him bike the same direction across the Manhattan Bridge from Manhattan to Brooklyn seven times. I think it's just the same footage.
The amount of dramatic, angry bicycling in this movie is really something else. Like,
it is something else.
There's like three different shots of him on the Brooklyn Bridge with some fucking stupid Muse song or who gives a shit going on, and then he angrily bikes against traffic.
Oh, he's going the wrong way on a one-way street. That's pretty
great. I will tell you, there is two kinds of depression in this world. Two kinds of movie depression in this world. There is movie depression, and then there's Rain Over Me movie depression. And this is firmly in the Rain Over Me camp.
Oh, totally. Oh, that movie stinks, too. Mm-hmm. That's a real stinker.
What a buddy comedy. Him, Adam Sandler and Will Smith being depressed together.
Oh, I'd watch it, actually.
I wouldn't.
Around this time, Will Smith starts like almost going to a grief group, and you're like, oh, that makes a whole lot
sure,
of fucking sense.
Yeah.
Finally.
It's a group about, you know, it's a group that meets all the time.
It's the Dead Kids Club.
Little Wings or something like that.
Yeah, it's a very sad name. It's something like Little Wings.
Tiny Hearts.
It's the Mini Coffin Grief Society.
It'd be great if he goes there and he sees Edward Norton and he's like, well, hold on, your kid is dead. And he's like, well, I actually can't sleep, and this is the only way I can. Oh, that's Fight Club. Sorry, I got to go.
I'm just going to take some cookies and coffee and get out of here. It's an AA meeting down the hall.
Edward Norton and Helena Bonham Carter show up, and he's like, wait a minute.
Man, that would have made for a great movie crossover.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
It's right there. But it's run by Naomi Harris, who's having a great year, by the way.
Great year.
This.
Not a great year for American accents, but a great year for her being... She's good in this movie.
She's
got
good in this movie.
She's diddly old dick to do, but, you know...
She's got one important thing to do at the end there, buddy. Naomi Harris is running it, and Will Smith kind of goes, but then doesn't. And then the next time he does go in... Or then she confronts him outside. She's like, my name's Naomi Harris. What's your name? And he's like, oh, my name's Will Smith. I mean, they have a real character name.
My name is Will Smith. That'd be great if he just said that.
Madeline and Howard.
Madeline and Howard. They meet each other. They shake hands. And she's like, oh, you know, I saw you almost trying to come in a couple times. You know, why don't you come in next time? It'll be good for you. Stranger.
It's also, it's deeply inappropriate. I mean, you'll find out why this is happening this way at the end of the movie. But, like, the whole time I'm like, don't tell him that you've been seeing him outside.
Yeah, like,
don't be, like, saying you've got to say. She says the name of her dead kid.
Yeah.
And I get it. You're running the Cold Tykes Club, and, like, I'm not
going to. Cold Tykes!
That one wins. We can't make any more variants on that joke. That one wins. There it is. Cold Tykes Club it is.
And I'm used to this, and I know how to do this. But
I mean, she's really, like, I feel like there's subtle ways to, like, get someone talking.
Yes, they've got to come to you, man, in this situation.
And it's
every
also,
time.
Tell
it's
me
also,
your dead kid's name. What is the Cold Tykes name? It's also very, very flirty. You know what I mean? It's a little too flirty for my taste for the Cold Tykes Club.
And also,
especially if you're like the attractive runner of the Cold Tykes Club, you've got to be like cold. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like people, you give them a nice grief hug, but that's the end of it because I can't be getting involved.
Offer
with
them
any,
some coffee. Yeah.
We can't be codependently grieving together. It's probably not a great idea.
No, that's real messy.
And also, by the way, I apologize to anyone listening who has a dead child. We're talking about movie Dead Kids, which is totally different. I really wish, actually, if it was a room full of action movie stars who all lost their kids. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sabotage, and like Jean-Claude
Van Travolta and Face Off.
Jean-Claude Van Damme and Time Cop. They're all there. Like, I lost my child. And they're like, well, she's like, oh, I lost my kid to a very rare form of cancer. And then everyone else is like, well, mine was a crime boss. Mine also was a crime boss.
Crime boss here too.
Terrorist.
Yeah, they're all confused. They're just like, wait a second.
Mine was a time boss from the future.
Your kid wasn't taken out by some sort of global terrorist bent on world domination.
I was going to say, is it John Travolta, Jean-Claude Van Damme, and then exactly 12 Arnold Schwarzeneggers?
Wait, how many times does Arnold have a dead kid?
Collateral Damage.
Sabotage for sure.
Sabotage, yes. As well. I think at least two of the 80s ones.
Yeah, maybe like, what's going
not
on?
Not Raw Commando? Deal. Raw Deal, he's fine.
Commando, he's saving his daughter.
Okay.
True Lies, he's saving
his
daughter.
She makes it right out of that one, huh?
Yeah. she makes it right out of True Lies as well.
I'll have to do excuse that one, yeah.
The Terminator can't breathe.
he's there.
Sterile. His adopted son, John Connor, makes
it. Well, that was the original idea for the third Terminator, was him to just tinker with a little child robot for 2 hours.
Oh, no. And now the T-1000 killed my child.
Oh, no.
I have an even colder tyke.
The T-250 is now an even colder tyke.
That is rude. but yeah, so like they kind of have this awkward meeting, and she's like, why don't you come in next time? He's like, maybe I will. And it's like, he's very broken, but he's actually talking to her, which is weird. And he says, like, you know, I'm seeing these personifications of death and time and love. And she's like, well, I think you should talk to them. And I'm like, what?
What terrible advice.
I mean, when you start a grief group, they give you numbers and they're like, look, if somebody starts saying that they talk to people that aren't there, you tell them to see a real therapist.
Yeah, this
you
know is what a mean? Private number that you're going to want to have.
Yeah,
to
this
give
guy
them.
Needs medication because please. It's not okay.
But also, and like, and I'm sorry, but like in this situation, you don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want to make any decisions about life. You don't, you know, you're sitting in a dark room by yourself all the time and won't eat.
Yeah.
Just kill yourself.
Yeah. You know, I mean, like, hey, look.
He's trying.
He's not. I've seen no evidence.
We just talked about it.
Okay, I guess in the middle of the street trying to run against traffic. That
I mean, that's
us.
A pretty public suicide attempt. I don't know what you're looking
but
for.
But that's just my point then. Like, at that point, you're looking to get killed.
Oh, I see. He's not trying hard enough to commit suicide. Oh, that's your problem.
He's got to put some elbow grease into it, is what I'm saying.
Well, I think he might be trying to starve himself. He also says something about, like, he only sleeps 6 hours a week. I was like, all right, so your brain's going to fucking sputter out at some point.
I mean, this is Fight Club. This is exactly how Fight Club starts.
Dude, imagine then if Edward Norton and Will Smith were the same person.
Yep, I like that.
And it was a whole thing where, like, not only is Edward Norton divorced, but he's divorced because they have a dead kid.
Exactly, and the girl that he's talking to that doesn't like him is his dead child. Oh, this makes perfect sense.
Yep, there we go. And then Where Is My Mind starts playing, the fucking building blows up, and credits. There we go.
And then you get a punkierly dressed Kate Winslet, you know what I mean?
Yes, she could do it.
Yeah, that's a former. Yeah,
Kate Winslet from like Eternal Sunshine kind of look.
Sure, sure, sure.
And then Will Smith cries on Meatloaf's breasts. I guess. Yeah, that sounds like a hit.
Yep.
Yeah, I like it.
It worked once before. We can do it.
So at this point, Edward Norton's like, you know, this isn't moving fast enough. We have this fake movie timeline where we need these papers signed on New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve, man, or else Gary Marshall's going to be really upset.
R.I.P.
I know. Oh, that's sad.
You think he's going to get... we need to really start thinking about who's
going to get... We got to talk about it now. You're right.
Who's going to get Farinid from the Oscars?
Now, can you... Steve, for new listeners, because we drop this every now and again, it's something that you coin. When we say someone gets Farinid at the Oscars, what are you talking about?
The In Memoriam death montage, as we all know, only takes so many people, apparently. They've got other things to get to on that show, like interpretive dance. So an actor such as Dennis Farina, who's fantastic, was not celebrated at the Oscars, and it happens every so often. Brad Renfro that didn't get it.
That's the alternate. Sometimes we do say you got Renfro.
So this year, most celebrities died. So Chances are people are going to be left on the cutting room floor.
I'm trying to think of who the big one's going to be.
I think Rickman's on the edge, man. Rickman
it's
was
not. They're not going to forget Rickman. Ooh.
Rickman was early, and there was a lot of fucking a lot of heaters at the end of the year.
He was in Harry Potter, though.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
That's true.
That's like
true.
The other thing. Like, my part of me was wondering if I'm an asshole. I forget the guy's name. R2-D2.
Oh, Kenny Baker? Ooh,
Kenny Baker.
Kenny Baker, but also Star Wars, so I feel like they can't.
Yeah, and if you're doing Carrie Fisher, you got to get
they're
him
gonna be
to
be like, oh, wait, didn't someone else from Star Wars fucking die? Well, oh, the little guy, right? Oh, yeah, Kenny Baker's dead. Get him in there.
Put up a Mark Hamill one. That's what we're going to need.
I mean, I feel like Tim Rice is going nuts right now. They're doing a whole song for Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds, as they should. And I'm not trying to make light of that. It's still a little raw. It's very raw for me as well. But a lot of people died this year. Some people's going to be ending.
Oh, you know who it is?
Oh, please.
Who's Robert good? Vaughn.
Oh,
Robert Vaughn is getting farinaed.
Yep, Robert Vaughn will indeed.
And that'll be
farinaed.
A crime because Robert Vaughn was great.
Yep, he was great, and he will get farinaed at the Academy Awards.
I almost
Awards.
Guarantee you he's the one.
That's a good call, Kevin. That's exactly
we'll leave it at that.
Dying.
As we think of these,
bet you they'll even put Leonard Cohen. I think Leonard Cohen maybe had been in one movie.
He's been in some stuff, I think.
You know what they do? They're going to do the... Well, actually, Saturday Night Live already took it, but they're going to play Hallelujah as they do the montage. That way you're doing Two Birds, One Stone.
And they'll just show like a clip from McCabe and Mrs. Miller or something.
Yeah, I mean, they might.
Just do So Long, Marianne, all right? Like, there are other good Leonard Cohen songs.
Yeah, there are other good, grim Leonard Cohen
they're
songs.
They're all grim.
You could play over a death reel.
So now that... Well, this is a sad episode, I guess. But like so, Norton is like, this isn't working. This is not working. I have a new end game, which is going to be
to fabricate evidence.
To fabricate evidence
yes,
in a legal
right.
trial.
Yeah.
It'd be great if he got committed at the if Will Smith, because of their fucking around,
yep.
got committed to the fucking Sucker Punch Asylum,
and then finally commits suicide.
Yes, because he's like, okay, so what we're gonna do, like Andrew said, is we're gonna have all these three, you have to come back one more time, and we're gonna and Dad's gonna film it, and then we're gonna just take it out in post.
We're gonna digitally remove these three people from footage that Ann Dowd is shooting on a cell phone.
And like Helen Mirren is like the one that's the most into it. She's like, oh, this is the greatest role of my career. I can't wait to come back.
Boy,
and
that's annoying.
It is quite. Jacob Lattimore is like, I'm kind of in the middle. And then like, Keira Knightley.
She's out.
It's difficult to have Keira Knightley and Kate Winslet in the same movie, just in terms of verbal only.
Not as bad as Keira Knightley and Natalie Portman in the same movie.
No, yeah, that's difficult.
Yeah, then you get yourself a Phantom Menace, and that's a real problem.
You get, but so she's like, I'm out. I don't want to do this anymore. So he has to like get the gang back together. Meanwhile, Helen Mirren finds out that Michael Pena is dying. He's like, you know, I was sick as a kid, and then I was sick in my 20s, and now I'm sick again, and this is the last time. She's like, well, have you told your wife? And he's like, no, I haven't. He's like throwing up blood in toilets all around New York City. You're like, oh, is that Starbucks bathroom occupied? Oh, great. There's blood in it.
Oh, no. The fucking New York bloody towel ripper struck again.
And like, he's like, she's like, have you told your wife? He's like, no, I haven't had the heart yet. I'm like, your wife, if I ever had cancer and I beat it, my fiance, anytime I fucking farted, would be like, are you all right? You got to go to the doctor. Yeah. Got to go to the doctor.
Get that fart checked out. Get that fart checked right out. Do
also,
it.
He's leisurely, like, he goes into a coughing fit,
mm-hmm.
just leisurely talking to the personification of death.
He's not like, oh, this is weird.
You've probably been coughing like that for at least months now.
But
sure. You think your wife doesn't know?
Exactly.
Is she going to be like, oh, that cold's been going on for 2 months now?
Well, and that's
boy,
the
that's
horse
pretty
shit.
Bad.
Oh, like, cancer boy's got a real bad cough in there.
Well, the end of the movie is she's like, did you tell your wife? And he's like, yeah, she knew all along. I was like, no shit. You're leaving fucking bloody towels all over the bathroom.
So, but wait, was she just playing along like, oh, my silly husband and his cancer?
Well, yeah. No, I think it might be more like, you know, oh, he'll tell me in his own time. He also says that she had been like personally making, like preparing herself for his death. Which, that's something you want to do by yourself.
I just imagine that, like, him, like, green, sweating in bed, like, it's, like, hours away from the end, and she's just at his bedside, like,
Sure you don't want to tell me anything?
Anything at all.
You got the saltines and the ginger. Are you sure there's nothing else wrong here?
We're canceling brunch plans for the third weekend in a row. But yeah, no, you're fine, right?
This is our, this is our 15th, yeah, 15th delivery of blood from...
There's a brown bile on all of the pillowcases. That's great.
I was thinking about making plans for next Christmas. What do you think you'll be doing next Christmas?
And, you know, it smells like skin and urine in here.
Oh, yee!
So, you really want to tell me?
Skin and urine.
At this point, Will Smith works up the courage again to go to the grief group. And he has another flirty chat with Naomi Harris. They get like a drink or something.
Yeah, they go to like a restaurant.
Romantic dinner.
It's very pretty. And she's like, oh, you know, my daughter's name is Olivia. She died from this very specific rare kind of cancer. And, you know, like she asks him, actually, he's like, I'm guessing you're part of the 79%. And he's like, what does that mean? She's like, you know, the 79% of people who lost a child, couples who lost a child who get divorced, because obviously it's very difficult. Read a play sometime. It's very difficult.
Just one play.
Yeah, just any old play. You'll find out that it's very difficult to lose a child. And she's like, oh, you know, my husband in the most, we did get divorced. And weirdly enough, when we got divorced, he did the most romantic thing that he ever did when we were married, which he gave me this little card. And in the card, it says, I wish we were strangers again or something like that.
I wish we were strangers again.
If only we could be strangers
again. Is that what it is? Yeah, you're the only one who's seen this piece of shit twice.
I've seen this fucking twice in theaters. That's
we could be strangers just for one day.
Yeah, put that over the
it's gonna be Bowie and Leonard Cohen.
Yeah, you could get some hacks to come out and butcher some Bowie songs like they did the Grammys.
Sure
wanted
could.
To fucking throw up. I just wanted to throw. You know what, Lady Gaga? I'm so happy that you love David Bowie.
Look,
thanks anyway.
If you're watching the Grammys and are expecting not to vomit, you've already lost the war.
Yeah, you're gonna pina through that thing, man.
How was the Grammys last night? Oh, I didn't throw up that much blood.
Only ruined two towels.
And the towel budget in that house. Luckily, he's rich.
Yeah, he's not for long, though. This deal doesn't go. If the Omnicom money doesn't come through, Andrew, I don't know how many towels.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the Omnicom ticking clock.
I just imagine him cleaning the towel, like doing a wash of the towels, and it's like Homer's pink shirt.
Hey, by the way, somewhere around here, Naomi Harris tells tale of when her child was dying in the hospital.
Oh, yeah, this is in the romantic
It's very important. Yeah, it's when we're having this romantic dinner, that oakened tavern that they're at there.
Yeah, which is exactly against the 3-hour seminar she got at the Y about running your own grief group. It's like, number one, no romantic dinner.
Yeah, don't go on a date.
don't go on a date.
So she's talking about when her kid was dying. She's out in the hospital hallway, and a homeless woman is sitting next to her. And the homeless woman turns to her and says, who are you about to lose? She says, my daughter. And the homeless woman's like, well, that's a real bummer, man. But by the way, keep your eye on the collateral beauty.
She doesn't even say, hey, sorry.
Yeah.
She just says, be sure to keep an eye out for this bullshit called collateral beauty.
And for like the ninth time listening to this screenplay get played out on a screen, I just went, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, what on earth does this mean?
And the most bullshitty thing of this whole scene is she's, you know, we're in the nice like piano bar or wherever the hell we are. They're playing the Vince Guaraldi Charlie Brown song,
finishing up a fucking bottle of Lagavulin
and
a steak.
But we cut to this hospital.
That sounds pretty sweet.
And it turns into Peep Show all of a sudden, because we only see Naomi Harris from the POV of this old woman that they're not showing for some reason, Andrew. And I fucking started to dig into my knees until I bled because I knew what was coming and it pissed me off so much.
Oh, it just pisses you right off.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is aggravating.
So
in that scene, they say collateral beauty 5 times in 3 minutes.
Oh, really? You counted?
I counted.
Good for you. Yeah, you knew it was coming, so you wanted to get a count on that. That's a lot for and a titular line.
And by the way, all I could possibly bring myself to think about every time they were saying collateral beauty was, speaking of Arnold, is his big flip out scene in collateral damage. When they're like, well, your family was collateral damage, and he's like, collateral damage, collateral damage, ah, I'll show you collateral damage, and he starts like fucking up that office.
That's kind of, I really did want Will Smith to start doing it, like, collateral beauty. Was my daughter collateral beauty? Was my wife collateral beauty?
No, it's just in the grief group. Collateral beauty, what are you talking about? Van Damme, let's get out of here.
Oh, yes. My wife was not collateral beauty either. That is such bullshit. My daughter was not collateral beauty. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
It's all of them and then Amy Adams from Arrival.
And she just goes, I saw it was coming.
You know, it was a little easier for me, guys.
I had time to think it through, really come to terms.
Turns out I brought it on myself.
By the way, Will Smith, I've seen the end of this movie, and it's bullshit.
I'm also
Oh my God, the heptapods told me the end of this movie was bullshit.
I'm also part of the 79%. Jeremy Renner had some problems.
Spoiler alert.
I'm so pissed off the fucking heptapods spoiled the end of your stupid movie for me. Hey, Will Smith, get ready. It's fucking stupid. Bye. Thank you so much. Bye.
Oh, Amy Adams, would you like to be in Collateral Beauty as the personification of love?
Oh, no, but thank you so much. Oh, that sounds like total fucking trash. Thank you, though.
Oh, this script is cancer. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you.
Oh, that's great. Thanks for nothing, though. Oh, thank you.
Oh, you could have dirtied up your foot and put it on a piece of paper. It'd be the same thing. It'd be the same exact thing.
Ooh, sorry, that sounds great, but I only like being in good movies. Ooh, thank you.
5 times in 3 minutes. That's weird, because my movie's about the arrival of aliens. I don't even think we say arrival once. I don't know. just different strokes for different folks. Thank you, though.
That's so weird. And also, I don't think anyone says Nocturnal Animals in all of my other movie I have this year. But you say your title 3 times in 5 minutes. Ooh.
That's a choice.
So that is that scene. At this point, Edward Norton goes back to Keira Knightley because he needs to get the whole... I mean, also, by the way, you don't need 3 of these conversations for this like stupid boardroom meeting you're going to have.
One's enough.
One's
yeah.
plenty. But he's still trying to get it wet with Keira Knightley. That's the whole thing.
I think that is more the motivation than he really wants to get this footage figured out.
So he goes to Keira Knightley and they're under the Brooklyn Bridge. They might be in... like Jersey City or Battery Park, I'm not
sure. They're in Dumbo.
They're in Dumbo, okay.
Jersey City under the Brooklyn Bridge.
I'm sorry, I meant to say... well, you see the Freedom Tower, whatever.
They're in
they're
Dumbo.
They're like near like Grimaldi's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's like, oh, you're doing it, putting a play on here too? She's like, yeah, you know, I've got a lot of stuff going on. And he's like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Hey, you really should do this weird scam that I'm putting on. You know, I had my scam all set up and I really liked it.
You are fucking up this scam. And also, if you don't participate in round 2 of the scam, there's even less of a chance I can sleep with you, which is honestly something I'm trying to put together.
So she's like, well, you know, what about your daughter? And he's like, what about my daughter?
Oh, man.
And he even does the stupid line, which if you've been watching this movie, you know what's kind of going on. And she's like, what about your daughter? And he's like, my daughter? I don't think I told you about my daughter.
Yep. Oh, sure. You just... bah, bah. You get like just the tiniest little whiff. You're like, oh, collateral beauty. Who farted? Did someone fart? What was that? Oh. Collateral beauty. What was that? And they just let it go. And she's like, tell me about, you know, the day your daughter was born. And he goes into this fucking pile of horse shit that Olivier couldn't make work.
I mean, poor Edward Norton, man.
It stinks, man. It is so sad.
You know, he was our greatest white actor. And then Michael Keaton took the slot, yes. And he's never been the same. They had a white guy actor off in Birdman. Michael Keaton won.
Yep.
And it was a comeback. I mean, he was the comeback kid. He came back from Clean and Sober and Batman.
Yeah. And I mean, but like, Edward Norton's been on a bit of a kind of a run. He's been doing a lot of good Wes Anderson movies.
You get yourself into that Wes Anderson camp, man. Mm-hmm. You'll be all right.
That's what you want. I mean, I don't like Birdman. But a lot of people do. It won a lot of Oscars, and it should have, you know? So, like, that's a good movie.
He's trying to pull himself out of that painted veil spiral.
The Illusionist.
Oh, my God.
That might be a stay tuned, actually.
I would check that out again. I remember liking it at the time. That was during the that was the magician craze of 2006.
Yep, that and the Prestige.
Yeah, we had two magic movies.
Definitely more antlers in The Illusionist.
A lot more Giamatti.
A lot more Giamatti. That's correct.
But he doesn't like ball crushing in that, does he?
No. That's too bad. Not at least on the screen.
A lot less Bowie in that movie, too. That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's too bad.
But yeah, so like, I don't know.
Has the line where
does he say fucking Collateral Beauty too?
No, it's even worse. Actually, it's not. But he has a terrible line when he's like, not only did I feel love, .. Then the screenwriter went up, took a huge shit, came back to his desk, sat back down and wrote, but I became love.
Oh, shudder.
I am love, destroyer of careers.
And Keira Knightley's like, you know, you've never been more attractive to me than right now.
It's like, oh, let me keep talking about when my daughter was birthed then.
Whatever you're into, lady. Whatever gets you going.
And so then she basically says, like, if you go and make up with your daughter, make an effort with your daughter to patch up the relationship, I'll be in round two of the scam.
I'll fucking drive the getaway car or whatever the fuck with this illegal horse shit that you're doing.
I'll help this corporate malfeasance lawsuit sail right by.
Unbelievable. So we all agree to do this. I think there's one more scene where Jacob Lattimore goes up to Keira Knightley and he's like, oh, by the way, he goes, hey, Homer, nice way to get Mudge pregnant. Well, no, he's like, oh, I see you're trying to
get pregnant. Kate Winslet, you said Keira Knightley.
Oh, fuck. Kate Winslet, I see you're trying to get pregnant. And she's like, yeah, but whatever. Which is kind of that entire thread.
Well, because she keeps going on sperm bank websites. She's got websites up. She's got pamphlets all over her desk.
How about getting fucked?
That's a great thing. How about getting fucked?
That's the name of your sperm donor website. Yeah.
It was immediately closed down by every single
agency that can close a website.
Google ripped it from its search pillars.
You've tried the rest. Now try the best.
Oh, yeah.
About getting fucked.com.
You know, there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of expensive ways to make a baby these days. You want to drop 20 grand? How about getting fucked?
In vitro fertilization? How about in stevetro fertilization? How about getting fucked?
I just imagine this as a radio ad with, with Girl from Ipanema in the background.
Having trouble getting pregnant? We've all been there.
How about getting fucked? Promo code getting fucked. He used promo code getting fucked to take $20 off the whiskey you have to buy me in this weird system.
Whiskey you have to buy yourself.
Yeah, actually, that goes both ways, brother.
And then 1-877 cars for kids.
1-877 getting fucked to have a kid.
1-877 fucking around. 1-877 fucking around. Oh, man, that's stupid.
So we get to round two of the scam, and it's basically Jacob Lattimore comes up. He starts skitching on the back of Will Smith's bike. Will Smith hits the brakes. Kid goes flying. He starts yelling at him again. And Will Smith, this is the best part of the movie, Will Smith, in a fit of rage, throws this kid's skateboard across the street. It's the funniest thing you'll ever see.
And you see Ann Dowd. And it keeps doing the same thing because we know what the movie is.
Right.
But they keep cutting to Ann Dowd filming?
Yep.
I get it.
She's just standing there, like, very obviously filming with a cell phone.
A cell phone, by the way. Not a DTV cam. Not a really nice fucking... Not a Red.
Yeah, I was going to say, it all looks like it's from a Red.
Oh, my God.
Dude, she's standing there holding a big Alexa on her shoulder.
She's got a Steadicam harness on the front.
Well, you would need it. I mean, because the plan is to digitally remove people from this shot. I mean, what would be hilarious if they were all wearing, like, mocap outfits, like... Jacob Lattimore. He's got all these red spandex with black balls all over him. That would make a little bit of sense.
Will Smith's like, what are you wearing? He's like, it's a time costume. Shut up.
That's what all of us personifications of abstractions wear. It's spandex and black dots. So then he goes to take the F train. He's having a bad day. And wouldn't you know it, Helen Mirren gets on with him, and she starts talking to him, and he tells her off. He's like, oh, you know, everybody's – he just kind of runs through. It's probably his best acting in the movie. And I don't think he's bad. I don't actually think really anybody's bad in
it. The problem is it's a putrid fucking script.
Yes.
This is the best case. I think we have the whole month of Worst of 2016 of, like, this is just a – garbage pile of screenwriting.
Yes.
And you have hired or tricked several really talented people to be in this terrible movie. And in this scene where he's got this big monologue and it's about, like, you know, religion ain't doing it for me. People offer this, that ain't doing it for me. Like, he's got this big thing he says to her. And I was sitting there thinking, like, I hate this movie, but this is good. Like, he's doing a good job.
Yes.
And then by, like, the telltale end of it, I don't remember what the line is, but there's some – it just reminds you that this is just terribly written because he's got some line where you're like, oh, there go the eye rolls again.
But well, he starts singing Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
Oh, that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. He sings Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
He's talking about religion and literature and poetry, and then he sings Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
But the funny thing is, Ann Dowd is on the F train sitting down. She should be standing to get a better shot.
Yep.
Sitting down and – her whole camera is obscured by Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, it's obscured entirely by Helen Mirren.
And let me tell you, when someone's filming you on the subway, you see it.
Yes.
Like, you never want to, like, listen, if you're coming to this town for anything, there's, like, a crazy guy in the train or the fucking, it's Showtime dancers or whatever. Don't film it because they will see you and you'll get called out for it. Like, like, Will Smith should be like, why the fuck are you filming me? Haven't I seen you before? Yes. Like, something has to give with this scam.
So she does that. And then he goes out on the street. He can't get to fucking work. And he gets accosted by Keira Knightley, who actually puts him in his place, kind of. I think that's how that works.
Yeah,
she's like, yeah, I'm love. You can't live without love. You need love. Oh, my God, you need love. And
one might say all you need is love.
Oh,
Steve.
Ba-ba-da-ba-da.
Yeah. How's a shitty cover of that song not in this movie?
That's a great question. Because no, it wasn't directed by Julie Taymor.
That movie fucking reeks.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of shit.
What's the Across the Universe?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's horrible.
Wow. Yeah. Fucking turd and a half. Mm-hmm.
Thank God for Westworld, huh, Evan Rachel Wood? Jim Sturgis just had to be in that Bronx show with David Schwimmer, which I never saw.
Oh, where they're like chefs or so? What's it called? Yeah. Beast Wars?
Oh, Feed the Beast?
Yes, they're in Beast Wars. I'm David Schwimmer. Now I'm going to turn into a pterodactyl. Oh, no.
Flap.
Oh, great. Looks like I'm laying another egg. Remember my partner, Jim Sturgis? He's a saber-toothed tiger. His 2000 alt haircut turns into a saber-toothed tiger. And he does a bad American accent. Probably. I don't know where I was going.
Tamar talking about love.
But Ann Dowd films that as well. So now it's the big meeting. It's New Year's Eve, I guess, or whatever the fuck. So they call a competency hearing at the board. And I mean, this board, you want to save some money.
Sure.
If your company is underwater.
Yes.
Whatever this TV setup is wrong.
Well, how else are you going to introduce RoboCop? This is my question. How are you going to do it?
Because they're in a boardroom, a nice boardroom, you know, glass everywhere. And this TV setup, it's like overproduced overset designed the way ESPN shows are overset designed.
Yes.
You know, where you spend $2 million on a fucking TV that's showing you the same six highlights forever?
Dude, the sets on ESPN, let me tell you, I don't need to feel like I'm watching sports news from the fucking future.
Exactly.
Just get a person at a desk and call it a day. At Christmas, you can have like some nice poinsettias on the desk next to it, but we have to stop the madness of these ESPN sets, and it's not just the shows. It's the radio shows that they film. You see that set on Mike and Mike in the Morning? That thing. My Lord, you're not hosting the Tonight Show.
And you know, and the robot butler on Mike and Mike in the Morning, he does not like the Mets. And that drives me crazy. But they have this stupid thing, and like they show all the footage. And I don't know who ILM must have been involved, because it's exactly the same thing wherein Will Smith is throwing not a skateboard but literally nothing, and he's yelling on the train even though Ann Dowd's camera was totally obscured by Helen Mirren. Like, what are we talking about?
I want the deleted scene where Ann Dowd has to get on a plane and fly from New York to California so she can get to the fucking Skywalker Ranch and have George Lucas and his cronies take out all of these people.
All right, so it's a cell phone cam. That's not great. So does she want Peter Cushing in it, or does she not want Peter Cushing in it? I can get Peter Cushing in this thing like that.
That's a no. All right, guys, it's a no for Cushing. It's a no for Cushing.
I know. This video gets Cushing. This video doesn't get Cushing.
You want to take out the... you want to take out the skateboard, do you? I actually took a skateboard out of the Phantom Menace once. It was originally in there.
You know, here's just a quick suggestion, Steven. When you're taking out the skateboard, why don't you have Will Smith throw some blue milk? Maybe he throws a pitcher of warm blue milk.
You know, just get Peter Cushing in there a little. I mean, he could be in the background.
Maybe he's serving some Dewback milk. Boy, I'm thirsty.
You know, we could get James Earl Jones back here. He could voice love for us.
Yeah, but sure enough. I mean, like, yeah, to your point, like, there needs to be, like, a guy in the advertising. Like, get Josh Gad, who's, like, a guy that knows how to do digital effects. Because I just don't buy that she's just able to do this. Like, she's a private eye.
It makes no sense.
So they have this meeting, and Will Smith starts crying, and he's like, oh, my God, look at my madness. And everyone feels like shit. It's actually pretty good acting, because everyone on the other side of the table does not feel very good.
Also, what's uncomfortable is this lawyer is grilling him, and he's like, who are you talking to on that train? Who are you talking to on that train? Who are you talking to on that train?
What'd you throw there, Will Smith? Yeah.
Looks like you threw some Dewback milk. And then, like, Kate Winslet.
How do you know Peter Cushing? He's been dead 20 years.
And then Kate Winslet has to be like, that's enough. We're destroying this man.
So he basically, they stop short of telling him exactly what happened. Kate Winslet's about to do it, and Edward Norton's like, shut up.
He's like, no, no, no. Yeah, that's fine. We're all sorry.
Yeah. But then, like, whatchamacallit, Will Smith apologized to all three of them, and he's like,
such horse shit.
He's like, this, oh, you know, he's like, and he knows everything that's going on in their lives. He's like, you know, Michael Pena, everybody knows you're dying. I used the bathroom after you and almost threw up. Could you keep it inside the house, please?
And he's like, you know what, Kate Winslet, I've walked by your desk. Listen, I know you keep forgetting this is an open-air office space, but stop leaving sperm bank websites up on your computer.
Lock your screen, man. When you go to the bathroom, lock your screen.
Listen, I can't tell you how many times I've walked by that desk, and on your Mac laptop, I see isn't it easier to get fuck.com or whatever it was.
And frankly, I wouldn't even have to walk around. You know, we have interns everywhere.
Oh, how about getting fucked?
I'm sorry. Yes.
We have interns everywhere, and all they are talking about is the baby machine that you want to make.
And then he's like, and by the way, this is like the saddest dressing down I've ever seen. Because then he's just like, and Edward Norton, stop being such a fucking coward and go spend time with your daughter. Don't wait for her permission. You're a father.
Go force yourself on your daughter.
Whoa, wait a second.
Not that.
This isn't the fucking Donald Trump movie. Oh, God.
And he's like, also, I might have a vested interest in telling you that you should get back to your daughter, because guess what? Time is short. She might have a rare cancer disease. And everyone feels bad. And he's like, oh, you know, I'll sign away this. I'll sign away my stock. You don't really know what he signs away. I guess he signs away.
He signs the death certificate, doesn't he?
Well, he signs two documents. The first one is him removing himself as like a decision-making stake in the company.
Okay.
So they can then like sell over to Omnicom.
Omnicom's ready for it. They're going to work at fucking 12 on 12:31 at 8 o'clock at night. They're going to put this paperwork through to nobody.
Oh, sure. So that's one. And then the other thing that the lawyer says, because they're like, what was that? He signs the other. He's like, you call me six times to sign this other thing. Let me sign it. He signs it and he leaves very sadly. And they're like, what was that second thing you wanted him to sign? They're a bunch of nosy Nellies. And the guy's like, oh, he set up a trust in his daughter's name and put a bunch of money in it. And he has to sign a thing that confirms that she's dead.
I love the idea of him going, hey, that little girl's been dead for 2 years. That stock is doing nothing right now.
Just Howard, sitting there.
Howard, Howard, pick up this phone. Howard, this is your lawyer speaking.
You got a cold tyke on your hands here, and I need you to sign off on her.
I went over to her grave the other day, and I pissed on it. I'm hoping just to get a reaction out of you at this point. Now Howard, obviously the law wants to make this as uncomfortable as possible, so you have to come in and tell a strange white man that your daughter is dead. Confirm it. Howard!
Call me back. Merry Christmas. So then we have a scene where like all of our actors get paid, and it's like Michael Peña gives
Helen Mirren
a check like outside of his building. The most
he confirms to Helen Mirren, like, oh, I told my wife, she's right. Okay with it or whatever. And she's you know, this was the greatest role I've ever played.
Yeah, great.
And in Helen Mirren's mind, she's like, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
This is what performance is.
Even that third time I played the queen was better than this. Yeah, so that's that. And then Edward Norton goes and makes up with his daughter. That's a scene we sort of have.
Yeah, he basically, and this girl talks like she's 42 years old and in a Woody Allen movie, man. Because he comes up to her and he's like, as she's getting out of a very snooty private school, and he's like, oh, hey. She's like, Dad, get out of here. I told you I don't like you. He's like, yeah, well, I'm going to be here whether you like it or not. I'm going to be here every day. And even if I get to see you for 1 minute, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, what are you, stalking me now, Dad? Ew. And yeah. It's like, well, this girl wouldn't know what stalking is. And she's like, I'm going to get a restraining order against you or some nonsense.
It all sucks.
And she's like, oh, by the way, you know, if you are going to stalk me tomorrow, I get out in a half day. And it's like, oh, that's going to mend.
Oh, that's so going to mend quite nicely.
And that's definitely going to be a healthy relationship in a couple of years, I'm sure.
And then we get it's a big load of horse shit, and it's a big fuck you to the people writing this movie. So Kate Winslet gets off the one train at 181st Street, Washington Heights, right? Totally fucking fine neighborhood. And she gets out and fucking guns are going off and we're blaring rap music and people are yelling and screaming. She comes out into fucking Terminator war zone.
Simon Phoenix is on a corner and on a box.
And the other corner, some guy's yelling, can you dig it?
Exactly. And she's fucking yelling at this Jacob Lattimore, like, well, you brought me up to this fucking shithole. And I was like, I live blocks from there.
She's
it's
like,
totally fine.
She's like, to give you $20,000 in cash, which this guy accepts. And he's like, yeah, you know. She's like, you should take an acting class. You're really good.
He's like, yeah, okay.
You should take some improv classes over at the Magnet.
Oh, yeah. Get in a 101 class there.
Hey. Hey, do you want to waste that?
Yeah, you ain't wrong.
But she's like, yeah, you should do that. And he's like, yeah, maybe I will. And they have another stupid like concept about time.
He's like, hey, guy, there's still time to go get knocked up. Talk to you later, movie.
I got this card from a website. This short, weird guy gave it to me.
How about gettingfucked.com? No, but the funny thing is, no, what he does is basically say, like, look, listen, lady, you can adopt. Because that's basically what he's like, oh, you know, my dad was my barber, and he always gave me great things to say, and my mother was this lady that lived under the fucking subway or something, and she had funny things to tell me. They were really who raised me. You don't have to, like, the kid doesn't have to be yours or whatever.
Right.
Just fucking adopt, lady. You're 40 years old. Fucking adopt.
And it's such a weird coincidence, man, because it turns out that that's also the title of the new play I'm writing, The Barber and the Homeless Woman.
Oh, that's beautiful.
people.
Yeah, it was totally weird. I couldn't believe it.
So wait, are you going to expand in the... How about adoption?
Yeah, well, that's...
How about fucking adoption?
Well, that's what happens afterwards when nothing goes on. You know, it's like, well, you can always adopt, lady. What do you want from me?
Sorry. Oh, mercy.
So, it's Christmas Eve. It's Christmas Eve, actually. So they get this done before the bizarre
deadline. Yeah, you're right. It's not New Year's Eve. It's Christmas Eve. We're fine. We're fine on time for Omnicore or whatever.
And, like, you're like, oh, well, this movie's been over for a little while. Sure, what are we doing here? He goes to Naomi Harris's place. And this actually did surprise me. Andrew, did you see this coming? The twist that we're about to talk about?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Okay, I was surprised. I was like, oh, he's just going to go there. I either thought...
I mean, I didn't see it miles away. Actually, yeah. You know what? No, I shouldn't say that. I said that way too cavalier. I eventually, like, sniffed it out as the scene was playing on, because I started elbowing Cabin and screaming in the theater.
The first time you saw this, Chris, did you see it coming?
Yeah, I mean, it was in the scene, but beforehand, yeah. No.
Because I was like, all right, she's either... the personification of something else, maybe right. Like remorse, or maybe she's like, I don't know, maybe she's even God herself.
Well, maybe it's like the Santa Claus yeah. 3 and she's fucking Jack Frost.
Or she's Santa Claus. Oh my God, what if she was Santa Claus? Naomi Harris is Santa Claus.
Or Baby New Year.
So, or either that or that they were just going to get together and that would be sweet and they sure. would get each other through their grief. So he shows up at her place and he's like, oh. She's like, you know, I usually spend New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve alone. And he's like, do you mind if you break that rule? And I'm like, oh, that's nice. And they go in and there's this picture, this little girl drew that says best mom ever on it, which is like a bit much.
Yeah.
You know, that might have been a bit of a heavy hand there.
It's New Year's or is it Christmas Eve. I'm just in here watching videos of my dead daughter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's, she says, I'm watching videos of my dead daughter with her father.
And she keeps saying, like, my daughter's name was Olivia. She was 6 years old. She died of this rare disease. Yeah. She repeats the same thing
over
and
over. His name was Robert Paulson. Over and over and over again. And wouldn't
Bloody
you...
Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary.
Wouldn't you know it, Will Smith... She was Will Smith's wife the whole time.
And she's like, say it, motherfucker. Say it. Sing it, sister. And he's like... My daughter's name was Olivia. She was 6 years old. She had this rare disease. And he starts like crying and shit.
And we show a video of them playing dominoes together and them swinging around in the park. I mean, like, I just feel like certain things, like if I don't have kids, but if I did, I would try not to take such precious videos because I just feel like you're tempting fate. Don't give me a picture that says best dad ever on it because I don't want that haunting me.
So it's like Steve will have home movies, yeah. Chris, but it's more sure. like, here's me up at 4 a.m. changing a shitty diaper. Precious memories. It's nothing just, too sappy. I don't want my kid to die.
It's true. But, yes.
You're a mediocre father.
I certainly would be. Meet me in person and you'll definitely know that. And, yeah, I mean, like, it's sad and stuff. And it's so stupid that they went through this twist. It's so stupid.
This fucking certified copy charade that we're playing here.
And the fucking video looks like it just got a 4K restoration from the fucking film center.
I mean, it looks great. This footage looks great.
Why don't you digitally remove that kid from there if it's that easy?
Then just watch Will Smith dancing around in a playground by himself.
It's just, and I mean, like,
why? How is this a thing? How is this a thing?
She's going through her own grief. Like, I don't have time to be playing this game with you and, like, pretending that there's an audience watching. Like, you would just talk to each other.
But the other thing is, like, so are they fake divorced?
I think
they're real divorced.
They are real divorced. She says the day that we got this. The day that my husband and I got divorced, he gave me this card.
Oh, okay.
So the papers have dried.
But this is what's totally unclear to me. And okay. I do not think that the movie gives an answer. Is he fucking crazy and, like, doesn't recognize what's going on? Or are they both in on it?
They're both in on it.
Both in on it.
You think they're both in on it?
They're playing this game because he wrote that card, like, let's be strangers. So she, like, starts this weird game.
So we're going to be strangers? And then in breaking down everything that we've like built up as a couple, like as this relationship. I'm gonna fucking tear it to shreds.
Yeah.
Because I love you so much. Then we can go back to being strangers. You'll randomly decide whenever you want to walk back into my life and we'll start building again.
Well, that's the thing, is I think all of this, I mean, I think there's a much sicker thing going on here. I think they even
how about
made
just
up,
getting fucked.com?
I know, well, I think
yeah, how about you, how about just fuckingthislady.com?
I don't
that?
Even think the kid died of cancer.
Oh no. Oh,
I shit. Think they killed the kid for their own jollies.
Oh wow.
For the and insurance then, money, you think?
And then they got to play their little game.
Dude, talk about some SVU shit.
This is twisted, man. That's a twisted. That is some collateral damage. Or collateral beauty, whichever one this is called.
No, that was the collateral damage of collateral beauty.
Oh wow. It's yeah. collateral damage. Let's go Stallone. We're leaving this group, this grief group.
Why am I here? I don't think I ever had a dead kid in anything.
Well, my wife dies, Demolition Man, but that's from old age. Or whatever.
Does Rocky have any dead kids?
No.
No, like no, a pet, a... probably.
Probably like Rambo's a... kind of a broken man. There's got to be some skeletons in that closet.
Yeah, there's some.
So, last shot of the movie, by the way. We go to Central
well, there's
Park.
There's two, aren't there? Isn't oh, it? It's a double shot.
So it was. What's yours?
Because first it goes. Well, because oh, I'm sorry. The ghost dominoes get pushed over.
Oh, right.
This, his, her dead soul knocks down the last domino tree.
Oh wait, man. I didn't know it was a ghost that did that.
Dude, you're looking at like he's Will Smith has set up yet another domino display.
Okay,
and it goes back to the office like nobody's there. What with it being Christmas. And it's just, look at this beautiful domino setup. And it just goes, ink. And a domino totally falls
that.
Over, dude. Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, ghost and girl.
That, that leads us into...
Ghostgirl.com.
The second flashback to the scene outside of when Naomi Harris is saying goodbye to her kid.
Yeah.
And we talked about the scene before.
Oh, right, right, yeah, yeah.
And so she's sitting... in this fucking chair with this homeless woman next to her.
What a dirty bag of dog shit this movie is.
But she's dressed in all blue, Andrew.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. And then, like, so Naomi Harris is, like, sitting there, and the lady's like, so who are you losing, hon? And then she's like, oh, my daughter, blah, 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 you know. Oh, well, I'm definitely not going to say condolences like that and be kind spirit, but don't forget, turn head. Helen Mirren.
Oh.
The collateral beauty.
Fucking suck it. Suck it, movie. And, suck it.
And then we go to Central Park, and sure enough, it's the three of the Helen, it's Naomi Harris and Will Smith are walking hand in hand. They're having a nice day.
Yep.
And Will Smith looks back and sees all of his friends, all of his ghost friends, Keira Knightley, Jacob Lattimore, and Helen Mirren on a bridge in Central Park.
Yep.
And then he looks back, and then Naomi Harris looks back, and they're like that. They're gone. Because they were ghosts the whole time. Or whatever. Or they were magic the whole time.
Just what?
What are you talking about?
What a roundabout way to get here.
Where did that money go?
That's the most important thing. How are we cashing that check?
The
what
God.
Is he doing with the cash?
I imagine St. Peter's taking it.
$60,000, two checks, and one bag full of $20,000. Where did that money go?
I think it went to that homeless woman under the bridge.
Oh, yeah. I just can't believe. And you know what? Poor Michael Pena's kids are starving in the street. Meanwhile, these ghosts have lined their fucking pockets.
Well, I could have paid for your education, but instead I decided to do something criminal.
But that's what's so insane, though, is they hear his whole story, his whole motivation of, like, I want to leave my family with something. I need to make sure the company is secure. You know what? I'm sure this sale to Omnicom is huge and whatever, but sure. You know what also helps? An extra rainy day, $20,000 sitting around.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yes.
Like, Helen Mirren, here's what it has to be.
She takes a check from a dying man.
It has to be this. He gives her the check. She goes, this was the greatest performance of my life. Tears that check up.
Yes.
And that's the end of it. Because my lord, the fucking specter of death doesn't need $20,000.
You know what? Actually, I just realized. I think
I mean, so like the River Styx is what, a couple hundred years ago we're talking about?
Sure.
Or maybe even over 1,000 years
ago. The River Styx?
Yeah, you pay the boatman on the River Styx.
Yeah, probably more than a couple hundred years
ago. I'm bad with math. So however long ago that is, it was just 2 coins on your eyes.
Right.
Now it's 20G.
Oh, shit. Yeah,
yeah, inflation, man. Oh, you put 10 grand on each eyeball. That's why you have to write the Reaper a check. For 20K,
back in,
20 large.
Back when Clinton was running the country, it was just 2 pennies.
Dude, let me tell you, we think we don't have a problem with money in this world. Yeah. You got to pay 20 grand to get to the other side.
Not to mention the funeral expenses. My God, Liberty Mutual is going to fucking eat you alive.
It is such a racket. That whole thing is such a fucking racket. Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting connection because, you know, as some people know, I did have I lost a member of my family a few weeks back. And so sitting here watching this movie, which is such a fucking dickhead piece of shit, I'm uplifting you to deal with your grief, sad audience member, fucking suck it movie. But it does remind me, I mean, we were sitting there driving out of the cemetery and my mom's talking about, oh, there was this cost, there was that cost, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what a fucking racket. This whole goddamn thing. I was like, you know what? Just light me up. Light me up. Fucking set it on fire on a cliff and I just fizzle out into the ocean.
But you need
I don't need an undertaker to get a fucking penny out of my family.
But the Reaper's gotta get his due. 20K, man.
I will fucking wander this plane for eternity, man. 20K to the Reaper. I don't think so.
It might be 30 by the time you go.
I'm just imagining that at the end of Manchester by the Sea, they just pour hundreds of dollars on Kyle Chandler's face. Gotta pay him up. Here we go.
That's it. Make sure he gets to the afterlife.
You gotta sell that boat.
Sell that boat. It's 20K. You're dumping all over this body a bag full of lobster rolls for good luck.
Man, that movie fucking sucks. Not Manchester by the Sea, which is excellent, but Collateral Beauty sucks.
It sucks. What a fucking stink fest.
It was not nominated for any Golden Globes.
No,
right?
No.
I mean,
God
it's universally panned. It's not going to get nominated for anything, right?
Well,
a couple of Razzies.
Uh-oh!
Well, I mean, because what was the one that did Extremely Loud and Incredible?
Incredibly
close. That was the horrible tearjerker that won, that got a bunch of Globe nominations.
At the end of the, yeah, it snuck in.
It snuck right in because Tom Hanks was in it. They have to give it a fucking nomination.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe the Academy is sometimes weird. It wouldn't shock me if something got something from this stupid movie.
The only thing I think that you could even think of, and I already think it's too crowded of a slate to begin with, is Will Smith for Best Lead.
That's not happening.
I know it's not. That's what I'm saying. I don't see any other way.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
You know, it's like,
it's terrible.
It's so, so terrible. You've got no conclusion to any of those characters. I'm sorry. All of the final time we see Kate Winslet and Edward. I mean, Edward Norton comes the closest.
Yeah, he's
Michael
like,
Pena, I guess so. Kate Winslet. She's just left in Washington Heights, a neighborhood she considers to be a fucking war zone.
Yeah, I mean, 20K lighter. I don't know where that came from. I mean, she could have used 20. Adoption is very expensive, in case anyone's wondering. Ghosts. You know?
I need a shot of her. Either she's fucking picking a kid up at the airport or at the sperm bank after all, or whatever it is. Something. And Edward Norton is actually hanging out with his daughter, not this fucking crass conversation they have outside
the way, what a scam they're running on Omnicom, by the way. So Omnicom comes in, right? They're paying
the good people at Omnicom.
They come in. They're going to pay $17 a share for this company that they expect Will Smith to be lead creative on. They want Edward Norton there, you know, leading the ship. You've got Kate Winslet as well. Working.
Creative genius Michael Pena.
Yeah, exactly. All of them. And by the end of this movie, Will Smith quits. Michael Pena is dead. Kate Winslet is going to be adopting a kid. That's a bunch of half days. And now all of a sudden, Edward Norton's leaving at 3 every day. Like what is going to be done here? Omnicom, these briefs need to be written.
Omnicom got ripped off. Okay. I would have struck a much better deal for Omnicom. This is ridiculous. All right. They got fooled by a bunch of ghosts.
No, they had. They hand over the whole corporation to Josh Gad.
Oh, right. Maybe Ann Dowd has a nice little... Her and her weird kid sidekick.
Oh, what a piece of shit.
The kid kicks his fucking feet up on an office on the desk.
What a piece of shit. When this eventually comes to home video, no one will recommend it.
I mean, you could still see it now, I think. Someone somewhere can.
Do not go to the theaters.
Do not. No, I don't know. I don't. It's almost a seeing is believing because it's so ridiculous.
It's in that realm.
It's a wait for HBO Go.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I mean, let me tell you, your generous Patreon bucks paid for us to go see the fucking thing.
God
right?
bless you. Thank you so much.
Bless you every day. But, I mean, just wait for HBO Go.
You have to. Yeah, it's not a recommend.
No, absolutely not.
Oh, that felt good.
That was a fun one.
Oh, I hated that movie. That's Collateral Beauty, everybody.
2016.
2016, indeed, directed by Dave Frankel. If you want more WHM, check out WHMPodcast.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We are at WHM Podcast. And right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you should download it from. We would greatly appreciate you doing that. Our Patreon, of course, patreon.com/wehatemovies. You got yourself some Animation Damnation, our new Star Trek show, The Nexus.
You just got our newsletter, which is fun.
The Big Daddy Dispatch, all sorts of stuff. So check out patreon.com/wehatemovies. See how you can get more comedy out of the stones that are the four of us. So next week, worst of 2016 continues. Is it that filthy fucking comedy?
Yeah. Dirty Grandpa.
Oh, it's gross. It's so gross, this movie, you guys. I'll leave you with this image. Robert De Niro pleasuring himself to pornography. Ugh. Yeah, take that and just put it in your back pocket until next week. Until then, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Cabin.
Steven Zadek.
Take it easy.